And our goal is to hopefully empower people to be more engaged in technology, to be more tech curious and ask questions and not feel like they're going to be judged because they might think the question that they have might be a little too dumbed down for the person that they're asking. But, you know, we've created an artificial intelligence that's really, really helpful, patient, and really kind when it comes to those questions and trying to really engage those older adults or those lifelong learners on how to use technology. And that's basically what it does.
Welcome to Now or Never, Long-Term Care Strategy with Costa Yepafonsif, a podcast for all those seeking answers and solutions in the long-term care space. This podcast is designed to create resources, start conversations, and bring awareness to the industry that will inevitably impact all Americans. Here's your host, Costa Yepafonsif.
Hey, y'all, it's Costa. Today, I'm here with my guest, Stefano Solorio, founder and CEO of Carevocacy, a platform providing online, in-person, and AI-driven education teaching seniors how to use the technology around them. Recently honored as one of Forbes 30 Under 30, Stefano's mission is to advance health equity through AI and digital literacy. Now, Stefano, arguably one of the fastest and most efficient ways we can improve senior living and senior care and every senior's quality of life is through technology. However, like every innovation, if the customer doesn't know how to use the product, it doesn't matter how well it works. Right now, what's the greatest gap between technology and our elder generation?
Yeah, well, I just want to say thank you so much for having me here, Costa. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on this podcast, and it's also great to be sharing the work that we're doing. One of the best intros I've ever had, so thank you very much for that. I do think one of the good things that about technology, and I think a lot of people, especially the senior living, aging space, or whatsoever, anybody who's ever worked with older adults in the first place, is that we sometimes miss out on the important aspects of technology, which is the education of technology and using it and learning how to use it. You can bring a horse to the river, but you can't force the horse to drink from that river. Or maybe they don't know how to drink from that river, right? And so education is such a big piece when it comes to technology, especially when it is applied to older adults in general. And I think for a lot of organizations who are looking to seek out innovation or technology, I think the first thing that our team and our organization tries to do is thinking about, is it accessible? Is it usable? Is it friendly? Is it able to actually help the person not only just make their lives a little bit more efficient, but does it really improve or empower them to use that type of product? And I think that's what really technology does for older adults in general, especially for whatever organization or industry that you're in. And so that's what makes the work that we do very exciting. As you mentioned before, you know, we help out people in variety of solutions and specifically around AI as well too. But it's really exciting to be part of it. And again, I'm happy to be here to share all the work that we get to do.
And I'll say with regards to AI, I think it's, a lot of people don't think about it like this, but one of the biggest impediments for people that are specifically seniors that are utilizing some technology for the first time, like iPads, you know, we never thought that Facebook would actually catch on, but now it's like how, you know, most people over the age of 65 communicate, right? That's probably not true, but there's a lot of communication happening on Facebook. What's interesting about AI is the component of simplifying the processes. So, you know, and we're going to talk a little bit about how AI interacts. I'm very excited about that, but it makes the adoption of technology even that much more easier and that much more quicker. And so that's something to be said about this new age of tech that we're moving into. So how can a better understanding of technology and how digital systems work bring peace to seniors and their caregivers alike when it comes to things like remote support, sensors, or even some form of digital surveillance?
Wow. Well, there's a lot to unpack with that one. You know, for us, like My family and I are actually current caregivers to my grandma, who is going through Alzheimer's right now. And so coming from that background as a founder and kind of that experience, I have had so many thoughts about how technology, especially as a Gen Z person, can play into how we can, help care for my grandma, how we can appease or help our caregiver lifestyle and how that works. I'm fortunate to be in a family that's very tech savvy. We do have like remote monitoring and cameras and things like that to kind of help monitor if we're not available or if we're not at the home to watch our grandma. And we do also use other technologies. In the beginning, when we first started in our early days of being caregivers, we actually, I had my family try to test out another application just to kind of keep track of like who was taking care of what on grandma's schedule, and try to figure out if there was someone available for that. So try to figure out like the scheduling aspect of who would be able to take care of grandma was something that was really helpful. And I think caregivers in general could kind of look into technology as a way to use that to make communication a little bit more efficient. Let's say if they do have somebody that, does not have Alzheimer's, but just has a certain chronic illness that's a little bit different, and they just need to communicate to their loved ones in that way. So simply being able to use technology like an application or using cameras as a way to kind of check in with their loved ones, it's one of the good ways or good reasons to invest in technology. But the thing that I would always like to advocate for is always on the side of the one who's being taken care of. And that is, does the person want to be surveyed? Do they want to be able to do those things? Because I think the thing that people miss out on is that when you, again, as we talked about in the beginning, is when you introduce technology to people, you have to make sure that you meet people where they are and educate them. And that what makes technology work is when everybody's on board and using it. So let's say you do have a loved one that may have a little bit of hesitance in surveillance or cameras in their homes and things like that. Educating them on what you could actually see on these cameras lets them know, and it makes them probably feel a little more comfortable with the idea of it. And honestly, it's not just bringing peace to the caregivers, but honestly, I think it would bring peace to the one who's being taken care of.
And there are so many applications outside of cameras that people can use. So some cameras are only passive, so they only come on whenever somebody actually moves into a room. Or there's also, like, when you want to talk about AI and specifically algorithms, there are algorithms now that are designed to monitor, use, like somebody wears a watch or something like that, some type of health tech wearable. And what they do is they create a pattern. So, all of us have routines that we do, right? Day in and day out. And so they learn this pattern. So they learn the pattern that somebody does, especially if they're in a long-term care setting, they usually are doing a lot of the same things day in and day out, whether it's in their own home or it's in a facility, it doesn't matter. And so if their pattern changes, that's an alert. I think that, and then you can obviously follow up on that alert by activating a camera to see what's happened. So if somebody sits on a recliner between the hours of 2 and 4 and watches the news, or 6 to 6:30 and watches Wheel of Fortune every day, but they're not, but you get an alert that pattern has been broken. Depending on how attentive you are to these alerts, you can prevent somebody from having a significant medical event that could lead even further into a more serious disability, and cut down on the time that somebody has to respond to that event. So it has. I think the remote monitoring and remote supports have a lot of applications that could help us do more good than harm, I guess, best way to put it.
There are definitely benefits for sure. Definitely benefits. I think for our side of it, it's just always making sure that either the patient or the loved one is always on board in that process, because it just makes it much more involved. And I think there's, you know, I have a lot of colleagues in the age tech space who are creating products just like that you mentioned before. And I think the biggest struggle for them is just that onboarding process for not only the end user, which is usually a loved one, but then also the person that's being surveyed. And I think by just meeting that gap and making people aware of like what's actually happening in the technology makes the makes conversations a little bit easier. But yes, I actually I've had fortunate of being able to test out a lot of other products for my colleagues in the age tech space for sure when it comes to helping caregivers and seeking or looking after their loved ones.
Yeah, and it's not Uber, so it's going to be okay, you know? I just finished watching Super Pumped is why I said that.
I don't know if you've seen that show. Yeah. Yes, I have. So.
Anyway, moving on. I want to talk about Carevocacy and your newest AI launch, Apo. I tried it out, and it's truly a game changer for anyone that needs hands-on support. What inspired these products, and how is AI helping you reach new audiences?
So do you want the PR version or the real version?
No, give me the real version because I'll tell you. Well, give me the details of it first, like how it works, and then obviously the backstory behind why you decided to do it.
Yeah. For your audience, if you're not aware, we launched a new product called Apo AI. It's spelled APO AI. And it simply is an SMS text-based application where you can text a special number of hours and you could ask it any technical questions that you may have, any questions that you would typically ask, you know, a younger loved one who may be tech savvy to answer your questions. And you can create some ideas. It will respond back to you in a very easy to understand responses. And in a way that you control what you want to learn and how you want to learn. And it's done through a very accessible and scalable way. So that's basically what Apo AI does. It's usually just sign up on our website. You give us your phone number and email address. And then you, in under probably 60 seconds or so, you'll receive a text from Apo, which is our mascot. And you'll be able to ask any questions through that product about anything around technology. And our goal is to hopefully empower people to be more engaged in technology, to be more tech curious and ask questions and not feel like they're going to be judged because they might think the question that they have might be a little too dumbed down for the person that they're asking. But, you know, we've created an artificial intelligence that's really, really helpful, patient, and really kind when it comes to those questions and trying to really engage those older adults or those lifelong learners on how to use technology. And that's basically what it does. And this is our first product in the AI space. So it's been an interesting journey for sure.
So I used it, just obviously signed up for it. And I asked them how to transfer files from a memory card onto a computer. You know, it's just a very, it's not, it wasn't healthcare related or aging related, but, you know, I just wanted to see if it would work, and it worked great. And, you know, what are some of the most common questions that people ask Apo?
You know, because we just recently launched this, I think there are still a lot of questions that we're still looking forward to, but a lot of it has been really tech focused, but then interestingly, we've had some people use it as a way to just have a conversation.
Okay. Interesting.
And
companionship.
Yeah. And we know that there's a huge, you know, I hate kind of saying the repetitive thing in the aging space, which is this loneliness epidemic. But you know, we do have a lot of lifelong learners who use our services or even the AI itself as a way to connect with somebody or to ask questions that, again, as I said, they may not typically ask somebody else. And so some of our topics range from, you know, learning how to use like a smart TV or just like yourself, you're obviously doing a special project. So they might have a technical aspect of their special project they want to learn more about, like writing a document or saving photos. Those kind of things have been the common questions that we've received. But then again, we have also people who just use it for simply texting somebody.
Yeah. And I mean, could they technically ask a question like, I don't know, my doctor prescribed a medication for, like, prescribed me like warfarin, this many milligrams. What are the side effects?
That's a very specific.
would it be able to answer back, like, the side effects for warfarin are?
So we've trained the model specifically only to answer technical questions. And to be a tech tutor for the individual. Again,
nice.
It's not to be acting as a medical advisor or anything like that. As we continue to grow, I'm sure we actually welcome people to break it, to ask silly questions. but it's not intended to give you advice. And we do provide some warnings to let them know that, you know, while this is an innovative product and it's very much still learning, and we're still very much trying to make sure it doesn't answer those things. But, you know, the whole purpose of this is just to make sure that it's accessible to everybody, and that it provides an alternative, a resource, a tool, especially for those who may not have a grandchild on hand. Literally, the name is the Filipino word for grandchild, actually. So that's why it's called APO, APO AI, because I thought, you know, why not, you know, put in a little bit of my Filipino culture into it.
Sure.
But it was also the word that my grandma, even though she doesn't speak that much because of the Alzheimer's, that was the word that she would call me over when she didn't know my name. And so she would call me Apo, 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 come over here. And so I thought that would be really fitting to put that into our newest product.
So Stefano, no one wants to hear this, but not having a general understanding of technology is risky. It's risky for safety, financial security, and overall, in this day and age, if you aren't taking responsibility over your digital literacy, you are at the mercy of someone who can. Why is this a message every senior and caregiver needs to hear?
Well, why is it a big deal to really know about technology and to be able to be educated on it? Because I think for a lot of seniors and caregivers, you know, we deal with a lot of vulnerable moments. And unfortunately, when we're in our vulnerable states, whether we're taking care of somebody or that we are at a vulnerable age, you know, sometimes we're easily are able to be taken advantage of because we're not aware of the technology that's being used. And some of the things that we always tell our learners is that it is so interesting. You know, when they are working with our tech tutors, their biggest fear is that they might accidentally click on something and they might go to something else that they didn't intend to. And the reason why that's a big fear of theirs is because they don't know where it's going to go. And if you, as you probably know, Acosta, as a techie person yourself, you know that when you press that X button or that square or that you press that back button, it's not going to take over your computer. It's not going to do anything to your computer. It's probably just going to close out the thing that you were actually doing. But for most of our learners and for those who are not familiar with those buttons, it's a very scary moment for them. And for those who don't know how to navigate that, someone can take advantage of it. They could say, hey, you need to purchase something in order to, you know, have access to this so-and-so. And they're like, yeah, I think I have to do that. But most things, you don't have to purchase them. And so being aware of what your options are in general, like tech education and being tech curious about those things is very helpful for a caregiver as well as the seniors that they are probably serving.
So let me ask you kind of an interesting question here. All right. So people that were born in the 40s, 50s, and 60s are the primary individuals that we are trying to engage into 21st century technology, right? Something that you and I are pretty comfortable with, but others that haven't grown up with it, it takes time to learn. And we're going to talk a little bit about how you teach them. What do you think when we get older, when we get into our 60s and 70s and 80s, what are kids our age going to teach
the next generation
when we're old? Yeah. Like, what are we going to get taught?
You know,
I ever think about that?
Given that some, I know I've never, I have not given that some thought. You know, I am 24, so it's a little bit of far away from that. But being in the aging space, I do always think about those things once in a while. And being around a lot of older adults, it's definitely, you can't not think about that. You know, I think it's the same thing for how they're also experiencing technology today. I think the biggest changes of technology for lifelong learners today are the way that we, you know, communicate with each other. So, you know, this is just a very simple example, but, you know, like, let's say that the best way to communicate back in the day was sending letters. And next thing, sure, a decade later, it was emails. But then a decade later, it was texting. But then a decade later, it's DMs on social media, right? So it's, I don't think for our future, when we become older adults, I guess, I don't think it would be anything. I don't think the base structure of technology will ever change. It's just the platform, the medium will change. I think we just have to be aware of how that's used. And for me personally, I'm excited about how that will be used. And I think, you know, when it comes to AI, like being able to be more aware of how it actually works makes me a better consumer of technology. So
yeah,
that's how I think about it. I don't think there's going to be anything too innovative. I think it's just be changing mediums.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's all based around, it's like you said, it's based around communication. I, on the other hand, go a little more extreme and think that it's going to be like an iRobot, where everyone's going to have a robot in the home and we're going to have to, like, you know, learn how to, or just a robot in out and about, you know, whether it's in schools, what have you. I think robotics is, just from what I'm seeing in the long-term care space, I think that it is going to have an outsized effect over the next 30 years, depending on our immigration policy, of course. Now, moving on. Through virtual consultations and online sessions, you're helping seniors and caregivers all over the United States and the world. What are the most common questions and lessons that you're working with seniors on?
Wow. I like how you just create emphasis on the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of our impact a little bit more bigger than I thought it was. You know, the most common things I think for a lot of our learners is that it honestly goes back to communication. You know, for example, the most common used application for a lot of people internationally is WhatsApp. And so WhatsApp tends to be the most, you know, used tool when it comes to talking to loved ones in other parts of the country. You know, you might have older adults who are interested in using social media, not because they want to post anything per se, but it's just because their loved ones are using that to communicate to them. And so, as I mentioned before, it's always about communication and reaching out and having someone that they can talk to. And that's been our biggest ask from our classes and our lessons. Other things is other special projects. We actually helped out a 92-year-old Holocaust survivor learn how to use TikTok. Wow. Because he was also a conductor, a maestro, a pianist, just a musical talented person. And him and his wife, actually during the pandemic, learned how to use Facebook Live to do their performances for their friends and family. And they hosted these kind of like ongoing events. So you have amazing people like those individuals who have used technology in that way. And you have others who want to just use it to talk to their loved ones. You know, the biggest challenge of the work that we do isn't even about teaching the technology. It's actually being a friend and being a companion and being almost a therapist. They don't want to admit that they are purchasing a therapist. They just want to say it's a tech tutor, their teacher. But in reality, you know, a lot of our learners come in with so much background and story. And, you know, it's always just making sure that they have somebody they can talk to when it comes to their technology education.
And the isolation epidemic that you were describing, or crisis that you were describing, it's a real thing. You know, I mean, I will say, a lot of times just sitting down with somebody and having a conversation with them, and that's a really hard thing to do nowadays, because all of us are behind screens or we are very, very busy. going from one thing to another, and you can't find time, you know, to just go and take a walk in the park with your mom or your dad or your grandma or your grandpa. So you have to change the way we communicate and the way that we provide companionship. And so I'm excited to see how your product evolves. I want to ask something just to dive a little bit deeper. If you take the communication and the companionship aspect out, how can digital literacy help lessen some of the accessibility issues that seniors face?
Yeah. So, you know, in my space, so you had mentioned before, you know, we work with a lot of healthcare payers and providers. And, you know, the biggest conversation that we've had has been about how does digital literacy ultimately affect the social determinants of health? And if you're not familiar with that terminology, you know, social determinants of health is basically a phrase that says these are the categories in your life that determine whether you are a healthy person. And some of these categories are access to education, access to healthcare, access to housing, to food, to communication and connection. These are the categories that determine your health. We have found studies and articles and literature that really supports that in order to even be able to improve or address these social determinants of health, there has to be a form of digital literacy to have access to those things. What does that mean? So, for example, you and I are very much capable of being able to take a class online because we know how the internet works or video calling. Imagine that for someone who has no idea how video call works. And so their education is limited on the fact that they don't have high digital literacy levels to be able to even access that technology or that education. Let's say during the pandemic, when a lot of older adults did not know how to order food online because they just weren't comfortable, you know, they would rather ask a neighbor or other people in their life who may not be able to always be there. But if they had learned how to use applications like DoorDash or Uber Eats or anything like that, that could have helped them in those times. But even for today, post-pandemic, right? Accessing your healthcare needs is so important more than ever. When you're a patient and you get discharged out of a clinic and your doctor says that you need to check your patient portal for your tests and things like that, and you're left with like, how do I do that? I'm not sure how to actually do that in the first place. How do you know you're an active consumer of the healthcare system if you're not even able to access your own healthcare records? Right. And I think that's really what digital literacy offers outside of the companionship and the education or the social connection aspect to it. It really opens doors and opportunities for those who may have thought that that wasn't possible for them. But because, you know, we spark that little bit of tech curiosity within themselves, they're able to do those things. And it's really, really what I call light bulb moments to see those and to witness those moments where they say to themselves like, wow, I can't believe I'm learning how to do this. And that's what really what digital literacy offers. You know, and you could work with us or you could work with a nonprofit or any other organization. And I could tell you that every organization that ever works in digital literacy, they love seeing those light bulb moments, especially when it comes to our seniors.
Stefano, as someone that created a product out of necessity and the true understanding of what it means to be a caregiver, what other technological advancements do you hope to see that will help our elder generations and caregivers?
I think you said it yourself. You're pretty excited about robots and other types of...
Are you excited about robots?
Am I excited about robots? You know, I'm excited about teaching people how robots work. that's the space that we're in, right? It's always about education. I am an open person when it comes to technology. I support it, the innovation of it, but I think people tend to ignore the important aspects and basics of technology, which I think it's about educating the consumer and educating the user in general. And so, you know, I don't want to pick favorites because I know a lot of these companies in the technology space for older adults, but you know, I'm really actually excited for innovations around Alzheimer's and dementia research. Those are kind of the companies I'm really looking forward to and kind of looking at exactly what data is coming out of those types of companies. Other advancements I'm looking at is just simple products that I think people tend to overlook, try to solve like problems that people tend to overlook because, like, for example, our product is an SMS text-based product. Like, it's nothing novel for someone to text tech questions to somebody else. But because we've introduced artificial intelligence, we've made that more scalable and accessible for a lot more people, right? And so I'm really excited for companies who are more practical builders rather than innovation seekers, because ultimately those are the types of people like caregivers like myself who understand the on-the-ground problems and understand that sometimes you don't need to complicate things with technology. You could just do the bare minimum, and that honestly solves a lot of these issues. And so I'm excited about those types of companies that are, or types of technologies and advancements that are trying to solve those overlooked problems.
Fantastic. I mean, as you're describing it, I can see the potential of what you're going to be able to build. And I think you said it perfectly when you said it's an SMS text messaging product. That wasn't a big deal until you introduced AI. And now you've got a companionship bot. I mean, I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just giving my interpretation of it, but it's,
oh, please, it's phenomenal. Go.
Well, I mean, it's phenomenal, but it wouldn't have happened if you weren't a caregiver. If you were just some guy that was sitting in an office that was trying to come up with ideas and not doing the hands-on work or not seeing the problems firsthand, you wouldn't be able to come up with this product. And that's why I think it's so impactful.
Yeah.
That's obviously why you're in Forbes. So
Forbes for now, being a practical thinker.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, practical thinking is how we change the world. So there's nothing more impactful than a pragmatist.
Yes.
Yep. All right. So we always like to end the show with a call to action. What's one thing we can all do today to improve our digital literacy and learn more about the technology around us?
Wow. You know, in preparation for this, I was thinking about, like, let me say something really catchy to end the episode. But honestly, you know, my pragmatic version of me just want to say that, you know, if you're curious about learning new things, we welcome it. Like, you should explore it, invest in it. You know, something that we say in our team internally is that learning is ageless. And we show that every single day through our videos, through our content, through the work that we do. And I think if you have somebody in your life who have asked you a question on how to do something, just know that they might be more willing to do a lot more than you might think they can do or cannot do. And I think that's the biggest ask that I would say, is that if you have somebody in your older loved one who've asked you in the past about how to do certain things, I'm telling you right now, they're tech curious, whether they like to say it or not. And so my call to action is just to invest in them, to engage them, to empower them. And if you don't have the capacity to do so, just understand that there are organizations like myself, as well as other organizations too, that can assist you and help you out. And so that's the biggest call to action there.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Now or Never, Long-Term Care Strategy with Costa Yepafonsif. If you enjoyed listening and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Leave us a review, or better yet, share this episode with a friend. Today's episode was written and produced by Morgan Franklin, production assistance by Mike Franklin. Want to find out more about Costa? Visit us at costayepafonsif.com.